It's these periods of Lent, these 6 weeks before. It's a powerful time for all of us to walk this Lenten journey, that we have 6 weeks to prepare our hearts to walk to the cross, to walk to Jerusalem. And we're remembering Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness following his baptism, where he has to go out and listen to the Spirit instead of listening to his own thoughts or listening to the tempter. And this is the time that Jesus is to listen to these deep, important questions of his life. And that's what it is for our season of Lent, to listen to the deep, important questions of our life. And we have opportunities to listen in a variety of ways, ways that can draw us more deeply into how God is calling each and every one of us. In this embracing love, as well as those, we can have voices that seek to try and pull us in these other directions, pull us away from that, from the voice of Spirit, from the voice of love. And so we have these competing voices, and so Lent is a time where we are really diligently and prayerfully listening to how God is working in each and every one of us. And our call is to listen closely enough to discern one from the other, even if we can't fully discern that voice. And Lent for many Christians is a time to do without. How many have given something up for Lent this year? One, two, okay, three, four. How many have taken something on during Lent? Okay, taking something on. Yeah, so it's a time, you're intentional. You're giving something up, you're taking something on, and you're doing it because each time you're reaching for the thing you've given up, or you're reaching for the thing you've taken on, the point of it is that, oh, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this so I can listen to the voice of Christ that's at work in my life. So whatever it is we are giving up or whatever it is we are taking on, it's this that we do in our Lenten journey, these 40 days. And perhaps another way to think about and live into Lent is this, that the season has been called the springtime of the church. In fact, Lent comes from the Old English Lenten, meaning to lengthen, reminding us that daylight expands as we move from winter to spring. As the days lengthen, we're asked to listen attentively to the Spirit of God that is at work. So how can the weeks before Easter be a renewal or a transformation for each and every one of us as we journey toward Easter morning? And the Bible readings over the next few weeks will have listening at the very core of the readings. Jesus is led into the wilderness where he has to listen to the tempter and refute each temptation. Nicodemus, that I just read, sought out Jesus to listen to Jesus, and he leaves baffled. Jesus listened to the woman at the well. After Jesus healed a blind man, no one is listening to each other. So listening is at the core of all of these scripture readings as we walk toward Jerusalem in our Lenten journey. And I look at Nicodemus as an excellent example, an excellent character of what a 21st century American Christian spiritual seeker looks like. I find him sympathetic because he is successful, he's self-confident, he's a leader in his community, people look up to him, they admire him, and he is spiritually open, and yet he's curious. And he's so curious that he makes an appointment with Jesus in the middle of the night, that he's not ready to go public. So it's at night that he has to come out, and he has to keep his faith in his questions a secret. He has to separate that from the rest of his life. And I find that fascinating. And I remember when I came back to faith, I was an adult. I was in my 20s, I was living in San Francisco, and I can assure you, none of my peer group attended church or spoke about church in any real affirming way. And so I rode my motorcycle. I had black leather on. And I ride up, I park my motorcycle on the sidewalk, and I sat in the back pew. That's why I, to this day, I always look at the back pew as holy ground, as sacred. That's where visitors need to go and sit. You know, that's where they come. They feel safe back there. And I sat in the back pew. And if I could have been invisible, I wished I could have been invisible. So I know what it's like. And I didn't tell anyone that I was going to church. Not one friend. I didn't tell my parents. I told no one that I was doing this. I kept it a secret, just like Nicodemus. And keeping his faith a secret is why these texts and these themes are so rich, because they deal with light and dark. And Nicodemus seeks the light of Christ. He goes to the teacher for the light, and then he disappears back into the darkness from which he came. And Nicodemus, he hovers on the margins and the shadows of John's gospel. And it must have been very difficult, maybe even dangerous for him. He was, after all, someone who was part of the Jewish establishment that people looked up to. Being a leader and going out at night to seek the light of a new religious teaching, that's what he was doing. And he's a sympathetic character, because he goes to Jesus and he asks these questions. He's confused. He's kind of clueless in a way. And I find that affirming, because we're that way too. We stumble with our questions. We are seeking and searching. Sometimes we don't have the answer, and our questions sound silly. And Jesus is trying to talk to Nicodemus. And at some level, there's something comedic in this exchange that's happening with Nicodemus and Jesus in the middle of the night, where he's coming out and creeping out at night, and Jesus is talking in a normal voice, and yet Jesus is giving him this dialogue, and yet he's confused, he leaves confused, and there's something in each of us that we could probably identify at some level with that. And by looking at Nicodemus as the establishment seeker in Christ, it brings a freshness and it's an honesty that many can identify with. And it's important because in this passage, has been often used in very harmful ways. It's been used to paint a certain brand of Christianity. Are you born again? Is code language for are you saved like us, or are you crazy like them? And on the inside, it functions as a way to determine a person's salvation in Christ. As an outsider, it serves as a very convenient way to label religious fanatics. Neither version is accurate or are really that helpful, because they rely on stereotypes. Last night alone at our Saturday service, we were walking out and a person came to me and said, "Oh, Pastor, would you pray?" Because someone that this person's praying for isn't part of the church life, doesn't believe in it, doesn't understand it, but needs to be prayed for. And the person was saying, "I don't know how to go talk to this person who I think is in a dark place right now in his life. I want to bring the gospel of Jesus to him. I don't know how to do it, because if I come, I'm going to sound crazy like this." And so she was really concerned. How do you talk and witness about this passage? And so it's a real life thing for each and every one of us. How do I do this in a way that someone I can speak and that they can listen to me? And when we look to debunk some of these aspects of these stereotypes and these limitations, when we debunk the stereotypes, what comes to the surface is the freshness, the fragrance, the questions, the seeking, the confusion, the wondering can come to light. Because after all, we do have a lot in common with Nicodemus. And I love that we get to have this passage with the Abraham passage as well. Because Nicodemus has some questions that I can only imagine Abraham at 75 years old trying to enjoy the golden years of his life. Maybe golf or bridge, I don't know what his plans were. And then God says, "No, I need you to form a great nation." So So the story of Abraham and Sarah is the very beginning of a strange and a wondrous God that can redeem our lives. And what's lovely about Abraham and Sarah is that the story of God redeems on such a very small scale. And this is hope for all of us. Not only is it a small scale, but it's not auspicious by any means. They're old, they're childless, and any real hope for change is a real long shot for them. And I take great comfort that they're up against a long shot in Sarah and Abraham's story. They are two unlikely people with humble beginnings and long odds for any real chance at success. And Abraham and Sarah reveal the sudden and the miraculous nature of God that's at work at whatever age we are. And the hands of God shape and they create and they form. And God's hands are always ones of life. And they're a blessing to Abraham and Sarah. And the word blessing is used 88 times in the book of Genesis. And what can we glean from the Abraham and Sarah story? When we're listening to God and we're trying to open our life to God, it's almost always a means to be something that's going to be very big. And more often than not, responding to God's call is going to mean that we are going to be taken out of our comfort zone. And this is a timely passage for each of us, because many of us stand at the crossroads in our own life. The city of Haran, from which Abraham is called, it means highway. It means crossroad. So standing at the crossroad of life, and then suddenly God needs you. So where are you in the crossroad of your life? Employment, health, downsizing, changing schools, relocating. When I sat in the back pew at St. John's those years ago, I was at a crossroad in my life. In time, I moved up a few pews eventually. Not too far. I never got to the middle. I stayed in the back. And then God did reveal God's self to me in such a way that gave my life a new direction and a new vision. And Abraham's call has profound power, because the one who calls God is the very one who equips. The one who calls is the one who equips. The one who equips God is the one who's going to lead the called person to where those gifts are going to be needed. And a faithful response is neither forced, it's not coerced, but a step freely taken to our true selves. And we can trust and we can be assured, like Abraham, because he has to do something very important here. And this is difficult for all of us, because he has to relinquish and he has to let go of many things that he holds to be most precious, so that he can go forward in a new way. And Nicodemus and Abraham, they're responding to their new embrace in God's calling. And the reason this text is during Lent, why we have it during the second week of Lent, is because Abraham and Sarah is about beginnings. It's also about blessings. It's also about the very risk of shedding parts of your life in order that you will grow and thrive and trust as you dare to live into God's purpose, that you are a beloved child of God. And shedding and risking and growing and thriving, these are so many questions that the church in America today is grappling with. So placing our trust in God's hands means to make room in our life for God to plant seeds of new life. And through challenges and demands, many of us have grown apart from any meaningful daily prayer practice. I was reading in Christian Century about how we spend more time on social media than we do, say, in Scripture. And I was like this, oh, wait, that's me too. You know, so we all have this, how much time are we spending? Where do we put our energy? And so this is a real life question for each and every one of us. So how are we shifting and changing as we go through our Lenten journey? And we often find ourselves hoping that this job or this idea or this relationship or this course or this trip is going to fulfill this deep ache and this deep hunger, as long as we keep running around and hoping and waiting for the mysterious moment to happen. What will only happen is that we'll grow anxious and restless and angry and ultimately not really satisfied at all. And when we find ourselves caught on this road, we are on the road to spiritual exhaustion and burnout. But this isn't what we're seeking. This is what God has called us to be. If we truly believe that we are beloved children of God, then you dare to admit that before you were born, you were loved by a holy other. To make room for God ushers in a very important remembrance from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, that there's a time to throw away. And often when we are being called by God, we are shedding parts of ourselves and we are leaving these things behind so that we can go forward in a new way. So as we make room for the breath of God, we have to throw some parts of our life out. And I think Abraham and Sarah know something about having to do that. And some of our practices and our priorities and attitudes and beliefs, they become very obstacles to any real growth in our own life. These attitudes and these practices are the very ones that lead you to spiritual burnout. So the only chance we have regarding any freshness or fragrance of spirit is to get rid of some of these attitudes that are holding each and every one of us back. Now, that's easier said than done. Our brothers and sisters in Alcoholics Anonymous, they come here on Thursday nights. They call this step one. It's admitting that you are powerless, or placing your life in God's hands, or as writer Annie Lamont calls it, it's what happens to you when you've run out of your own bright ideas. Your bright ideas have left you in isolation. You're not in community. It's left you anxious and you don't have peace, or sickness and you don't have health, physically, mentally, emotional. These are the things that we are trying to shed, that God is asking us to shed, so that we can be led to our deeper, true selves of calling. And like Abraham and Sarah, as we walk our Lenten journey, we will ask ourselves, what will be different about this year than last year? How will I grow and bloom and seek renewal in my life and walk closer toward God this year? Will my faith life grow? Will my family life deepen? Will my professional life transform so in a way that finds maybe a deeper sense of purpose? So Lent is about new beginnings, and nobody better exemplifies that than Abraham and Sarah, as we are listening and they are listening to God's nudges. And I remember those nudges. I sat in the back pew at St. John's many years ago. The doubts, the questions, the fears, the uncertainty, all came rushing back as if it were yesterday. But only something was different. I was different. It was me. The experiences from the past, they stayed in the past. They did not have a hold or hostage on the present. They had no control over the future. And new beginnings are about letting go of the aspect of your life that's holding you back from the joyful experience that comes with being a beloved child of God. And if you dare to let go, to put your faith in God, you might think of yourself as a long shot, just like Abraham and Sarah, with humble beginnings. But you'll be in good company. Your life is part of a greater life that connects to the family of Abraham and Sarah. So God redeems on a small scale for each and every one of us. So if you think you're a long shot, you are in very good company. So Lent can be about real deep change and transformation for each and every one of us. My friends, may it be so for each of you and also very much for me. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent prayer.